Ken Clark, doing our theme song, Eternal Funk, right here on Butte Views and Beyond. Thanks for tuning in. My name's Ray. I'll be your host this evening. Broadcasting from a high above the Waterman Breslauer building in downtown Chico, California, planet Earth. A little moist out there today, little clouds, wherever you are, catching us on the terrestrial broadcast or maybe on the stream, maybe on your phone. I hope it's a nice day or evening, wherever it tends to lie. And I've got some nice interviews for you. It's always a busy time here in Northern California in the spring. And we'll talk a little bit about some events coming up and some fun stuff. Butte Views and Beyond is a program about cultural assets of Northern California and beyond, be that arts, culture, activities, festivals, economic development based around that, restaurants, you know, businesses. It's really about community building through arts, culture, and awareness. And that pretty much covers everything, I think. So we'll leave it at that. And we'll thank our underwriters and get down to business here. We want to thank Friends of the Arts, your state local partner to the California Arts Council since 2001. Friends of the Arts has been creating economic opportunities by producing and supporting events and publishing a bi-monthly arts and cultural newsletter. To stay in the know or have your event listed, visit friendsof.art. And also by the Yoga Center of Chico, open every day with both in-studio and online classes via Zoom. In-studio classes follow all state-mandated protocol for safety. The Yoga Center of Chico also has a retail store at 250 Vallambrosa Avenue, Suite 100, next to the T-Bar. Details are available at yogacenterofchico.com or at 530-342-0100. Alrighty, well, let's get right to it, and we'll let it roll. And thanks for tuning in. I would like to welcome Deanna McCoy, who is the owner of Chico Hearing Aid Center, and celebrating 75 years in business. That's something.
It's pretty special to be a part of that.
Yeah, well, thank you for taking time to join us this evening, and. 75 years. I mean, that's a real milestone. And I think it says a lot about the community and the resilience of business, you know, because it's tough out there sometimes.
Yeah, it has been tough sometimes, but we have been growing steadily for several years, and because we love what we do. So there's definitely a need out there that, and people need that help to be able to hear. And I enjoy being able to provide that for them.
Yeah, that's, I mean, definitely a need, and definitely, you know, the KZFR crowd, that's for sure. And, you know, I mean, I've been to, I don't know, 500 concerts, you know, I've been up too close and back too far. And my wife keeps telling me, one of these days I will. But it's a big need as population ages. And I think a lot of, what people are exposed to. I was in construction for years, and you know, you go through a lot of stuff.
Right. There's even a lot of teenagers that have noise-induced hearing loss, but noise-induced hearing loss has no age. So it can start at any age. So it's not even necessarily when you get older, you need hearing aids. It's when you've exposed your ears to construction, motorcycles, shooting, lots of loud concerts. Lord knows I've had my share of those too. it's out there and it's a lot of fun, but it does play its toll on the hearing.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, it'll be interesting to see with the constant use of earbuds and earbuds and things like that.
Right.
Have you seen any effect of that coming through?
That's one reason why a lot of our teenagers have noise-induced hearing loss. The earbud companies are allowed to make them up to 103, 105 decibels, and kids will turn them up full blast. And an hour at that volume will cause irreversible hearing loss.
Hmm. Wow. They don't put that on the label, do they?
They do not. In Europe, where they have government-issued healthcare free hearing aids, they are not allowed to have them over 85 decibels.
Oh, interesting.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's something the phone developers could add as an upgrade.
Yeah. So maybe one of these days we'll catch up and say, hey, you know what? That's just too loud.
Yeah, that's just too loud. So tell me, so 75 years in your family has been involved in this business for generations, is that right?
I'm basically a third generation. I bought it from my dad. He trained me. He was trained by Dick and Marilyn Havens, who were basically my grandparents my whole life.
Wow.
And they bought it from Ralph, who was a friend, and Ralph wanted to retire. So this is just kind of doing him a favor. They said, okay, we'll buy the office and we'll run it there. And they had it for a little while, and then my dad bought it from them. He's like, no, we can make this a better place. And he did, and I kind of learned from him and took it from there.
Wow, there you go. You gotta love that, huh? You gotta
Yeah.
love that. I'd love to see the multi-generational family businesses that are still able to make it in the changing environment. And again, I mean, you guys are providing such a wonderful service, and I'm sure the technology has completely changed in the last probably 10 years.
Well, it changes all the time. I keep saying I don't know how they can keep getting better, and they keep doing it. Yeah, the changes. I mean, the hearing aids that we're fitting now, people that have had hearing aids that were from 5 or 6 years ago, you fit them with the new ones now, and they're like, oh, wow, this is so much better than I've ever had, just in the last 5 or 6 years. And then you throw in the benefits of rechargeable hearing aids and Bluetooth connectivity, so they connect with any Bluetooth device to where it goes directly to your hearing aids. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, that's got to be a game changer. I think back of we thought it was so cool when they had the little phone thing that went on the side of your head and you pushed it, and it would it would
Right.
answer your phones, I remember that was a big deal. And yeah, I mean, and they're completely unnoticeable. I mean, they're so
We've got them to where I could fit you with a hearing aid, and I could sit here looking straight at you, and you would never even know that it was there.
Yeah.
If you look, the ones that go behind the ear, yes, if you look behind the ear, you can see it a little bit, depending on the hair. But whoever looks at the back of somebody's ear, you're looking at people face to face, and you never see them. And they're so comfortable. That's the biggest benefit with those. They are so much more comfortable.
Yeah, and I think that I know that for my father that needed hearing aids, that was always he was always taking them out, and they just, after 40
Right.
minutes or something, they just started driving him crazy. And
Yeah.
never mind the fact that he would turn him down when he didn't want to hear us, but that was a different
No,
story. So
there are those people that do that, yes.
75 years, are you guys having a little celebration, or is there a specific date?
We are celebrating this Saturday from 1 to 3 here at the office. We're going to have an open house. We're going to have a drawing for a pair of free hearing aids, in addition to some other giveaway stuff.
Okay, and now you're on Man. What's the exact address there on Mangrove?
1600 Mangrove Avenue. It's the 5th and Mangrove Plaza.
There we go, Fifth and Mangrove Plaza. Very cool. And is that the same location all these years?
No, we've been at this location. We moved to this office from 3 doors down when we needed more room, right after I started here, 26 years ago. Before that, it's a couple places downtown. It actually started off down on Flume Street, which is now a parking lot.
Right. Yeah, I know.
And
Downtown has
I have a
changed.
picture here. I have a picture here in the office of that first office back on Flume Street.
Oh, is that right? Oh, how fun. How fun.
Yeah.
Well, hey, yeah, thank you so much for taking time, and congratulations on 75 years, and to all the generations before, and all the people you've helped. You bring a gift to the community.
Well, thank you. And thank you for having me on here. We are so excited to be celebrating this. And like I said, it's such an honor to be part of that.
Yeah, that's great. And again, open house 1 to 3 this Saturday, 1600 Mangrove at the Fifth and Mangrove. What's it called?
Fifth
Mangrove
and
Plaza.
Mangrove Plaza.
Fifth and Mangrove Plaza. All
Yeah.
right. Thank you so much. Have a nice evening.
All right. Thanks, you too.
Well, it's an honor to welcome Jared Speer, Caesar One, as he's known. Thanks for taking time to join us here. He's a local artist, and we're going to talk about some beautiful murals. Welcome to the show.
Yep, thank you very much.
All righty. Let's see, I became aware of you through Jennifer Spangler at Butte County Office of Education about a couple of murals that you had done in Oroville at the Nelson School and Sierra Avenue Elementary. Let's tell us a little about those projects.
Yeah, sure. I forget I'm spacing on a timeline, but it was probably sometime. Sierra Avenue, I think, was last summer. And I think Nelson was maybe kind of more towards the end of the school year last year. And they have quite a bit of wall space. A lot of the schools that have been, you know, built in the 70s and things like that, there is quite a few walls, and oftentimes they get painted with sort of bland colors or just kind of whites or grays, things like that. So they wanted to spice things up, do a mural. They initially just wanted me to paint their mascot, but I wanted to do something hopefully a little bit more dynamic and, you know, try to speak to the students a little more. I mean, that's kind of a big goal with all of my murals, is sort of targeting youth and trying to inspire them to think bigger and think beyond what's possible and, accomplish things that they might think are impossible. So that's important for me. And I think that came through with the tiger one for sure. The verbiage, a tiger always roars, that's their kind of like a mantra that they have. So I use that. But then I did more kind of like a geometric version of a tiger with tons of colors and made it super vibrant, and I was happy with it. It came out good.
Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful. I mean, I'm going to put it up on our Facebook, but I'm looking at it right now. It's very engaging, and I can see the students just loving it. I'm sure it's the backdrop to so many people's photographs on their phones and stuff. So it's really awesome.
Sure.
And that's, honestly, that's what it's all about, right? I mean, you give kids some pride, give them a reason to come to school, give them opportunities and, a little more than just the your typical things. And I know, to me, arts has always been a huge part of my life. And having arts education in school is a way to reach students that might fall through the cracks and might not feel, quote unquote, normal or whatever that might be, in the usual social settings. And arts is just a fabulous way for people to expand.
Yeah, for sure. I actually painted a mural at Bidwell Junior High. I painted three there, but the last one that I painted there, they kind of wanted a mental health message. And oftentimes when I work with schools to paint murals, they do want students to be involved, which I completely understand and I completely support, but sometimes that's a challenge to execute the mural the way that I want it to and the way that it should look. However, this one specifically at Bidwell, I thought it'd be interesting to have the students sort of create this background texture, and then I would come over top and sort of like round it out. And it was really interesting. I literally just showed up. They chose, I think, 15 students from a couple of like the Club Live clubs, and then also some of the art teachers threw it out to their students. So some of those kids showed up, and I basically just brought tons of paint. I brought bucket paint, spray paint, brushes, every kind of paint you could think of. I filled up squirt bottles and put half paint and half water in those, and basically said, hey, what does mental health look like to you? And man, they went crazy on the wall. It was a little bit overwhelming for me, to be honest. A half hour in, I was like, oh man, how do I rein this back in, but in the end, the kids were so moved and inspired to do what they did. The outcome was so dynamic. One girl at the end looked at the wall and said, "Yeah, this is what junior high looks like." And I thought that was cool because it's super messy, it's super bright, it's super intense. But yeah, and then I came in and kind of did my signature scripty letters, and it says, "You are not alone." And that message was kind of important for me because, you know, in junior high, I very much felt very alone. And so I was trying to kind of, you know, if there were other kids out there feeling that way, trying to kind of let them know that that's not the case.
Yeah, no, I was there too, my friend. And I'll tell you, you know, it's, you know, that age is a tough age, and it's so much more amplified with social media and all the things that are happening now. But that's a beautiful story, man. That is like, how do I rein this in? Oh my gosh. I love it. That touches hearts. That touches lives. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Really cool. So what's your background? How did you get into, I look at muralists and I'm thinking, you know, it's one thing to draw on a, you know, 6-inch piece of paper. It's another thing to draw on the side of a giant building.
Yeah. Yeah. To be honest, I still get nervous every single time I paint a mural, every single one. I don't know what it is. I feel like it would have passed by this time, but it's just, it's always there. You're always like, oh man, I don't know. Did I bite off more than I can chew? I always grew up sketching and drawing. You know, my dad was a contractor, but he also did some illustrations on the side. I thought that was cool. I was really inspired by old school, you know, 80s skateboard graphics. I had an older brother that was into skateboarding, and he kind of gravitated to those surf skate graphics, and that inspired me. And then, you know, in the early 90s, I kind of started to dabble into graffiti and found kind of spray paint and that whole culture. And that sort of got me tapped into, you know, studying letter styles and things like that. I ended up going to UC Santa Cruz for film and digital media, but did take some art classes there as well. And then I moved to LA in the early 2000s to kind of, you know, try to use my degree in film. And it didn't work out. I don't think I only lasted a year and a half or something. And then I really wanted to make a living from my creativity. So I started drawing illustrations for a clothing company. And then on the side, I had a little painting studio and I was making art. And I was also, I created this icon of my face that's sort of become my logo. And I was going around the city and putting that everywhere, like on abandoned billboards and, you know, buildings that were boarded up and things like that. And so that got me into like the whole kind of street art mural sort of community. And yeah, I think it was like 2008 or 9 or somewhere in there. I got approached to paint a mural that was an advertisement for a Smashing Pumpkins album. And you know, the world famous street artist Shepard Fairey had designed the mural. They just needed someone to paint it. And so I was ecstatic, you know, because Shepard, anything tied to him, I was really excited to work on. And so yeah, I took it on, and boy, I learned a lot in those, you know, 4 or 5 days. I thought I would knock it out in no time, and I think I don't know, it was like 4 10-hour days or something like that. It was incredible. And but I executed it. It looked good. And that kind of, you know, it started the mural bug. And when I moved back to Chico with my family in 2013, I kind of had a pretty specific intention to sort of bring some of those a little bit more forward, colorful, you know, positive message, but a little bit in your face to the small town of Chico. I kind of wanted to bring a little bit of that city back to here. So that's what I've been doing.
Man, that's awesome. I'd love to hear the road that gets you, you know, because it's, you know, we all have them, and it's just, you just never know how it's going to turn and where it's going to happen. And out of the blue, you get this thing from one of your mentors. I mean, come on, that's huge.
Yeah, it was really neat.
That's awesome. Well, hey, man, it's always amazing how quickly this time goes by. But we've kind of burned up a quick 10 minutes. And let's recap a little bit. And why don't you just talk about maybe a couple of where people can see your work. So Sierra View Elementary in Oroville?
No, Sierra Avenue.
Oh, Sierra Avenue, sorry.
Is in Oroville, and that's the one that's has the Sierra Avenue text up top, and then it has some cool wings that make a good, like, you know, Instagrammable backdrop on the wall. Mm-hmm. And then also in Thermalito, there is Nelson Middle School where I painted the tiger. And then Basis, I don't think you can get on the campus, but that's also in Oroville. That's a really neat one, giant. And then here in Chico, there's Sierra View Elementary and Bidwell. And then I painted one interior at Core Butte.
At Core Butte. Very cool. Well, listen, man, again, thank you so much for taking time with us this evening. And it's a pleasure to talk to you and meet you. And I want to talk to you a whole bunch more.
So awesome.
We'll have to figure something out.
Yeah, sounds good.
Do you have a Facebook or if people want to see your work or anything like that?
Yeah, best is just Instagram. It's at Caesar1. It's Caesar_one. And I think I'm on Facebook under the same moniker.
All right. Very good. Thank you, brother. Have a great evening.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.
I'd like to welcome Lisa Friedman Wood, who is the president of the board of the Chico Arts Center. Thanks for joining us on Butte Views and Beyond tonight.
Thank you for having me.
So obviously you guys have a full plate over there at Chico Arts Center. I think everybody knows you guys most famously for the Open Studios tour that happens every year, which is just a gem of an event, one that I absolutely love. And I know most of the artists and community as well. But you've got a puzzle project happening that just kind of really caught my interest and some of the artists that were involved. Would you like to tell us a little about that?
Yes, absolutely. We have done this. This is, I think, our third time. Originally, the puzzle show was created by Jeb Sisk. I mean, that's his son. They called him Cisco.
David Sisk.
David, there you go. David Sisk. And it's been carried on by his son, Jeb Sisk, and Titus Willoughby, who's been involved as well for the last three times we've had it. We run it about every other year, because it's a big event, getting bigger, but it takes a lot to put it on, and we love it because it's so community oriented. You know, the community really participates, and so now we have the last couple of times we've had a couple of guest artists who have also helped to design the overall layout of the images that'll be up on the wall. And this year it's David Dragon Boy Sutherland and Lauren Meichtree. And they're listed on the website under the puzzle show. And so, you know, it's always unique. Every year every time we do it, it's a different design. This year we had 400 pieces all total that they created, and they sold out in one weekend.
Wow. Honestly, yeah. You know, if you go to the Chico Arts Center website and you click on the puzzle tab there, I love that panoramic shot of the studio, of the Arts Center rather, where the entire wall space is just a giant exhibit. And that's to explain, they're like collage puzzles, but they all seem to fall into some kind of rhythm with each other.
Yeah, it is amazing. It's like those larger pictures that people make out of the little small pieces that are designed differently. It's somehow in our mind it all comes together as a whole. But the fascinating thing is to go and spend time there and really walk the room and look at each individual piece and kind of honor that person's contribution to the overall design. And that's kind of the way society is. You know, we all have our own unique perspective. We have our own talents and we have our own foibles, but together as a whole, you know, we function in a unique. It's fascinating because you're right, the materials people use, the style, the you know, it can be flat up against the wood panel, or it can stick out, or it can be, you know, I mean, it's just amazing the range of things that people put on those pieces. It's amazing, but it takes time to look at it, and that's, you know, I really encourage people to come during the time that it's open. Don't wait until the last minute, you know, the bidding night, because that's kind of overwhelming and there are a lot of people there bidding to look at it. You need to come in when it's quiet and walk the walls and really look. And I think it's fascinating.
And it's going to be open April 29th through May 7th.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes, April 29th. We are open 6 days a week. We've been closed on Monday for a while now, but during the week from noon to four, and then on the weekends from 10 to four, we're open, and it's free to come in and look. There's never any fee to look at any of the gallery exhibitions, and there's no fee for the reception. It's just going to be people who want to bid and, you know, come and share the experience.
And for people that don't know, that's at 450 Orange Street, right next to the tracks, right next to the bus depot, and you've got the wonderful train car coffee shop out front.
Yeah, it's not a coffee shop anymore, but we have been using no, not for a number of years. Just before COVID, it was closed. But we have we've been using it, and we have it open during receptions, and we've been using it for various different things. So, you know, it's still there. We have plans for it. COVID put us, like everyone else, a couple of years behind or more in our plans.
Well, honestly, it's a beautiful show. If you go to the ChicoArtCenter.com is the website, and really, really fun. Really, I mean, I love the concept. It is community. It is what it is what it's all about. We are all individuals, a part of a greater mass, and our what we bring is what helps shape the end result of the society and world we live. So that's the takeaway. And it's interesting to see these different components. Absolutely love it.
Yes. Great. Well, thank you. We appreciate it. And come down and see it once it's up. It's definitely going to be fabulous. It always is. We never know what's going to show up. So it's always interesting.
And again, that's at the Chico Arts Center at 450 Orange Street. Or is it Avenue Street?
It's Street.
Orange Street. Right next to the railroad tracks, just, you know, just off the university. And
It's in the depot building.
What's that?
It's in the depot building itself.
In the depot building. Yes. And that opens on the April 29th and runs through May 17th. Well, thank you so much, Lisa, for joining us. And again, jump over to ChicoArtsCenter.com and you can see what we're talking about right now.
Okay, great. Thank you much.
All right, thank you. Have a beautiful evening.
You too.
All right, let's give some musical credits here. Got a nice little soul thing going on tonight. Of course, that was Young Holt Unlimited, Soulful Strut. Yeah, it's back on some commercial or something, but man, beautiful tune. And then let's go way back. We started with Booker T and the MGs, You Can't Sit Down. That was our first tune, followed by one of my favorite bands of all time, War City, Country City, taking us right there to the Young Holt Unlimited. Check them out on your computer there. Really, really sweet stuff. And we'll slide into our last interview for the evening. Thank you for joining me tonight here on Butte Views and Beyond. My name's Ray Lager, and I'm here on the fourth Thursday of the month exploring some of the cultural assets of our community. This computer. Well, it's always a pleasure to have somebody from the Chico Visual Arts Alliance from Chiva. And this time of year, we're always talking about the Chico Art Festival. I'd like to welcome Cynthia Sexton, who's the president of Chiva. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me.
So another wonderful Chico Art Festival is coming our way.
Yes, it is. It's not that far away either. It's always on Mother's Day weekend. And the hours are always the same. So we're on Friday, May 10th from 4 to 8. And then Saturday from 10 to 4. So, that's the hours that we'll be. And we are still at St. John's Episcopal Church on Floral. And we're going to have some more signage out, I think, this year, so that people who are on East Avenue will see signs to come here. St. John's is sort of set back from the road, so we've got some good signs going to be on the streets this year for the first time.
Yeah, I think people drive past it a lot, and they don't, because the church is set back and it's got beautiful ground, so it's really the corner of East and Floral.
I know it is. Well, if you're driving fast on Chico streets anymore, you're going to have your car have to have your alignment redone because the potholes have taken over.
Well, that's true, but that's another show. But yeah, guys are right.
I'm happy to elaborate on that one.
Yeah, right on the corner there. And it's been there for what? Is this the third or fourth year?
This is our third.
Third year?
Yeah.
And am I correct that this is the 11th annual? Used to be Art at the Matador. Now it is Chico Art Festival. So
it got confusing because we, first it was the Paradise Fire and then it was COVID. So I think we're on like 12. We should be on like close to 15, but we'll go with 12.
Okay. We'll go with 12. I'm writing that one down. That's a good one. We'll go with 12. Sounds good. And it's always a beautiful event. You guys have always made a real, it's so much more than an art festival. It's a celebration. It's a celebration of the arts community and just people that appreciate it, that like to get out, that like to have fun. You always have great music, beautiful, fabulous artists. For years it was, that's where I did my Mother's Day shopping, and I still have pieces. I have a piece in my living room that,
Right.
So I have pieces throughout our house that we had purchased at different Matador events and things. So yeah, it's just a fun time, and it's totally family friendly, and it's the kind of place you just want to hang out all day.
I know. Well, we have as usual, we have music going on Friday at 4 o'clock. We have. For the first time, there's high school students that have a jazz band, and they're going to come and perform. And it kind of gives them an opportunity to, get out into the public view to see what they can do. And then at 6, then we'll have it's called Soul Posse.
Oh yeah, Soul Posse. Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah. So, and they'll take us into the end of the evening, which we have the fire dancers again this year. At the end. Yeah, we started that at the Matador and it just really caught on, and so we try to do it still and people like it.
It became part of the signature of the event.
I know it has. Even though the group kind of disbanded, and then when we asked them to please come, they kind of they started getting together again. So yeah, we keep dragging them back. So even though they may not want to do it all the time, but.
Well, yeah. So, 12 years ago, we all had different responsibilities and we're all, I'm sure they're like, yeah, well, we got kids. We can't just light ourselves on fire anymore.
That's true. And they do a good job of it too.
Yeah. That's fun.
And then, that's Friday night. So Friday event goes from 4 to 8, and then Saturday will be 10 to 4. And at noon, we're going to have the Ballet Folklorico.
Oh, beautiful.
I know. I have worked with them many times in Chico because I've been involved in many different art events, if you will. And I've always had them because I just think they do such a marvelous job, and it's colorful and fun to watch. And they have all age groups, from young people all the way to adults.
I love it. It's very inspirational. And you see them in costume and the joy, and it's just, it's a spectacle. You're captivated, and any pictures you take is going to be great.
That's true. I've been tempted on, because I paint in watercolor, I've been really tempted to do a painting of them, but it's like, that would be a lot of work because those dresses that those women wear are so decorative.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of elements on them, and they're just beautiful. And the dancers are very good. They're excellent. So anyway, we have them, and then the last group we'll have on is Los Caballitos.
Oh, okay.
So we're not having as many musical events. We're trying to put them where we see when we get the bulk of the people coming.
Mm-hmm.
So. This year we have right now, I think, although the number may have gone up, but about 40 booths.
Oh, great.
And I think we have 4 or 5 nonprofits. We let nonprofits come and not pay for a booth. We give it to them.
Sure, so that's great. Give them some exposure.
Yeah. So we have, Monca's always there, and Chico Art Center.
Great.
And Turner will be there, and I forget who our other two are, but there'll be at least two more nonprofits locally that'll have booths there.
Oh, that's perfect.
And some of the artists in their booth space will be doing work, so like the Fiber Guild, they're actually creating things in their booth. So
yeah.
And then, speaking of creating, on Saturday from 11 to 1 is our sketching, event. So I'm encouraging all the local urban sketchers to come out. And, I've made this sort of a permanent now as part of our event. Come out, I'll give them the paper, they sketch and paint whatever they see, whatever they want to sketch. Finish their image, and then bring it back to the info booth, and we'll display it. And then the public will vote on their favorite one. And then whoever gets the most votes will win a basket full of art supplies.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah. So it's, each year we've built on it a little bit more. So
yeah, no, that's great.
I'm hoping that we'll have even more. I'm teaching a class at PV High right now on watercolor. And I told the students, I told their instructor, Lauren, I said, hey, we're doing this SketchUp thing, and I'd love it if some of the students would like to come. And she has them, I guess the students have to do other things, outside of school. And so she's going to put that on her list for some of them to come to my event or our event.
Oh, that's
so I'm hoping we'll get some high schoolers in there too.
Yeah, no, that's great. And and again, just getting out there and doing things, and that sounds fun. Now, this is are you still accepting artists, or is the process closed?
We do. We'll take them right up to the end.
Okay.
I mean, so, as long as they, want to participate, we've got plenty of room. That's one of the nice things about being at St. John's is there's a lot of room. And we can still take a few more. When we were at the Matador, we were already starting to push it in terms of how many booths we could have. And of course, we had rooms as well. Mm-hmm. So, but we're beyond, we wouldn't really fit with the Matador any longer with this, the number of artists that we have.
Sure. And that, you know, you can't go back. Those are magic times. And you tell people about it and they're like, yeah, sure. You had artists set up in little hotel rooms and everyone was all decorated. Yeah. People went crazy. I said, yeah. And they had fire dancers and everybody was out there till 10 at night. And it was beautiful.
I haven't been by there lately. Have you?
Yes, I live near it. Actually, they're doing a bunch of renovation on the whole place.
Well, I heard someone say that to me and I thought, this week I'm going to drive by there. You know, that when Maria was alive, she did a lot of research on the building of that. You know, she loved that
the architecture.
Well, it wasn't the architecture, it's just what she had always wanted is to turn into an artist retreat so that artists could come in, have a room, sit and do their own thing, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I think that's probably what happened. I understand the owner was quite elderly, even beyond my 75 years. And when he passed, he was going to leave it to his children. And maybe that's what they're doing. Maybe they've decided they're going to refurbish and reopen it. So,
yeah, I hope so. Because it's a cool place and it's a good location. And, you know, we always need more hotel rooms and things like that.
And I know, absolutely. I mean, I don't know if you remember, but every bathroom there has handmade, hand-designed tiles, and they're all different, and they're really beautiful.
Right. So, and a lot of them had stained glass in the bathroom windows as well.
Yeah, some of them. But
so we're gonna. Well, let's give people let's recap a little bit, because I have a feeling there's artists that are listening to this program or people that know artists. So if they're interested in participating in the Chico Art 12th annual Chico Art Festival on May Friday night and Saturday. I love that it's Friday night and Saturday, and Mother's Day is free. So there you go. You can do what you want on Mother's Day.
Right.
So it's Friday night and Saturday, till 4 p.m.
Yeah.
How would they just go to Chiva?
Go to chiva.org, and it's chiva.org. And they can sign up right there. You know, that'll have all the information about what they have to do to sign up. And I should also mention, I didn't talk about this, but again, we're going to have tacos and we're going to have lemonade and margaritas and snacks and all kinds of other food type items. So as usual, too.
Yeah, that's and trust me, go hungry because the food is always really good there. And it's well portioned. And the margarita tent is kind of famous, so.
It is, that it is.
Well, Cynthia, thank you so much. Thank you so much for taking time with us on Butte Views and Beyond. And again, all the details are at C-H-I-V-A-A, Chiva, Chico Visual Arts Alliance, chiva.org. All right.
And you can find us on Facebook as well.
All right, very good. Have a wonderful evening and see you at the Art Festival.
All right.
Well, we'll start. We'll do our underwriters then, and we'll get into the background music. Hope you enjoyed today's program. Chico Art Festival, always a fun time. And again, if you knew it back in the day when it was Art at the Matador, then you get a gold star, and you know about the stuff. So, fun time to do Mother's Day weekend, Friday and Saturday. And also the puzzle show. That is awesome. I got to check that out. So anyway, thanks for tuning in. And peanut butter and jelly time is coming right up. We want to thank you, of course, the KCFR supporter and D.A. Lampe Construction, a proud supporter of KCFR and Community Radio in Northern California. More information, visit D.A. Lampe, L-A-M-P-E, construction.com. And also by Mountain Sports, providing outdoor clothing and equipment for hiking, backpacking, traveling, and the great outdoors. Fountain Sports is open Monday through Saturday, 10 to 5:30 at 176 East 3rd Street in downtown Chico, serving Chico and the North State since 1975. Amazing. All right, now it's time. Ken Clark, take us out, baby.
Peanut butter jelly.